This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite and I'm joined, as always, by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, what the bloody hell have you got? Down your chest is the only thing. There's a little face poking out of your chesticles. What is that?
That's my panda.
Yes, and you insisted on going and getting your panda for the recording. Is it going to be there the whole time? Does it have a name?
Panda.
Good, yep. Route one naming. How could you come up with Diggory as one of your children's names, but your panda is called Panda?
It's a mystery, isn't it?
It is a mystery. So come on then. Why have you got the panda there?
Because recently I was in China and I went to a panda place where we were where we were allowed to be panda keepers and sweep out the pandas and pick up panda poo and stuff like that.
Oh, lucky
and,
you.
Yeah, it was great fun. And see lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of pandas and find out all about them, including their sex life.
Oh, of course. Your ears perked up.
Yeah, because pandas are really difficult to interest in sex. So they quite often don't have sex with one another. They find it really difficult to get interested. Mm. And so...
As a species...
Yeah, and then then the thing is that they...
It's like a married woman!
Yeah, they've always got a headache. But what's really funny is that they try to get them interested because also the females can stay pregnant for ages. If they just choose to, they just stay pregnant if they don't feel like... Yeah, I know, it's weird, isn't it?
That is weird.
So you've got these pandas that often just they put them together and they just go, not interested. No. So what they do is that they get panda keepers to dress up like pandas and simulate sex. And then they show the pandas film of the pandas having sex. This is panda porn to try and get them interested.
What?
Yes.
That cannot be real.
It is.
So people, humans, dress as pandas. Pretend to shag each other like pandas.
Yeah.
Show that to the pandas.
Yeah.
And then the pandas go, oh, that sounds all right. I want a bit of that.
Yes.
And then they go and do it.
Yes.
You know what? That's not very good, is it? Because we are sat here every week on this podcast going, well, you know what? Porn is not a good indicator of what is sex. We shouldn't be showing porn to people to give them their sex education. Meanwhile, these guys at Zooland or whatever it's called, Panda Palace, Panda Place, that's what you called it, Panda Place. Again, very Route 1 title. They love it. They're showing porn to the pandas.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, know.
What is that looking like? What is that job spec looking like?
Well,
how good are you imitating a panda?
No, but they're keepers. Their job is they're keepers. And the thing is, I mean, I think it's senior keepers.
Yeah, sorry, at the bottom of my responsibilities as keeper, it says I have to dress up as a panda and pretend to shag another one.
Well, they're shy as well. So if, for instance, they wanted to take a panda from one place to another, they would dress up like pandas to creep up. This. Creep up on them. So they dress up like pandas. So I haven't seen the porn myself, but I have seen them dressing up like pandas and creeping up. And for instance, sometimes they have twins.
Wait, so they dress as pandas?
They dress
and
as
creep
pandas.
Up to
and
to
they
do
creep
what
to up to a panda. To Right, so after the, if they do shag, if they do by chance shag, they still sedate the female and take her off and inseminate her as well, just in case she managed to reject.
Why didn't they do that in the first place?
That's what I said.
But I mean, obviously, I don't think any of this is right, by the way. But if you're going to do it, just do that. Don't go.
No,
guys, I know what we should do. We should dress up as pandas and shag each other and then show the pandas and then they will impregnate each other. And also, for good measure, let's just impregnate them again. What?
I
just
know.
Do that in the first place.
But it might be that if they've had sex, the pregnancy is more likely to take.
Right.
So they can't be sure that the male pandas ejaculated, can they? So they just...
Well, that's true.
But if they know they've had sex, their body knows they've had sex, and then there's a load of sperm, they might think, oh, yes, I am pregnant, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Their body might be more likely to respond, obviously. The other time they dress up is, let's say, for instance, when they give birth, if they have twins, they quite often will reject one of the twins. So what they do is they dress as a panda and they creep over, and then one of them distracts the panda who's holding her baby, and then the other one grabs the baby and swaps it. And then they run away again. And the and the mother goes, oh, picks up their baby. And it's a different one. Yeah.
So, and then they do that, this swapping game, to be like, you're going to nurture one for a bit.
Yeah, because they won't
nurture
one for a bit. So they won't nurture both of them. So they do 2 days on, 2 days off. Yeah.
And then what they're hoping is then they both get stronger and stronger, or bigger and bigger, and all that sort of stuff. And then eventually, do they just let them all go out?
Oh, I think they separate them off after they're about two or three. They usually go off on their own. But the thing is that they fight one another.
Aww.
There are lots of pandas that live in the same play area. They have their own room. But then they have a play area as well, so they don't have to get too close. But I don't think they'd put a load of males together or anything like that. Because I think they might get cross.
This just sounds absolutely insane.
But I mean, just imagine panda porn. Isn't that a cool thing?
I mean, obviously it's amazing. It's mad. It's not that it's not even pandas, but it's humans pretend to be pandas and then it turns the pandas on. I mean, there's got to be...
Well, we don't know about... I think the jury's out with whether it turns them on or not, but...
So the keepers just do it for fun, is basically what we're saying.
Well, no, they must do it for a reason, mustn't they?
I just can't get over that.
But I can't get over the fact that they dress up at all. You know,
like if they
need to go to the vet and they've got to sort of take them there and they need to sedate them, they creep up on them dressed like a panda and then quickly give them an injection and drag them out.
Problem is, if you show them the porn first, then creep up on them to give them the injection later, aren't they going to try and shag you? No, but what I mean is you've shown two pandas shagging and now they're like, oh, okay, I know how to shag another panda now. A few months later, you're like, right, they need a few more vaccines. Let's creep up on them dressed as a panda. They might go, oh, hello. There's another panda here. You get nice and close to them to give them a vaccine and they start shagging you.
Well, I don't believe that's ever happened.
Why the hell would that not have happened based on everything you've just said?
Well, because it's such an effort to get them interested, unless they just that moment been watching their panda porn.
Really? Oh, it feels like it's like they go, here's the panda porn.
Quick.
Off you go.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they just show it to
them. Oh, it's not the sort of thing that coalesces and they go,
no.
That thing I watched the other night was all right. That thing on telly was good.
Oh, click and load. Let's see some more. No.
At the beginning of the episode, it's like, do try this at home. Pandas, when you're watching.
Yeah.
Make sure you go away and try this yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. How many hours are you watching a day? Do more.
we need more.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, wow. I don't know what... Essentially, I don't know what to follow. I was going to say, people, at the beginning of this episode, my plan was to say, hi, everyone, how are you doing? You know, you're probably not expecting this. This isn't our usual way of doing things. We usually have the Real Sex Education After School on a Monday. We're going to have two Real Sex Educations After School this week because we have so many questions that we need to get to. But what I would ask people, as I wanted to talk about before, mum's popped the panda back in her chest, brilliant, is... If you could do one thing for us, if you enjoyed that story about the pandas, and I keep using the word story because I still can't believe it, but you're going to be right, aren't you?
Yes.
I know I don't believe you, but
You never believe me.
I never do, but the thing is, if you go to our Instagram, we'll post all the pictures about it, we'll post all the stuff about it, it will definitely be true. Anyway, if you could do this one thing, it will really help us out. If you're listening to this now, and it's the first time you're listening, hello, thank you so much for listening. Please follow us, subscribe to us, wherever you listen to this now. And you've been listening for a while, share the podcast with one friend. Just one friend. Maybe your best friend, maybe your mom, maybe your dad, someone out there. Just share it with one person. Pick this episode, be like, yo, have you heard this about pandas? People dress as them and shag each other. Or a previous episode you liked, send that to a friend. Maybe there was one a few weeks ago on should you sleep with your ex? Send that to someone who needs to hear that. Someone will definitely need to hear that. You know, stuff like that. But it really helps us out. Word of mouth is the best way to get us out there. Not going up the charts, not following us on Instagram, although do that. Do give us a review as well. Please just share it with one person. And then we can get to our first question of the day. Are you ready, Mum?
I am.
Wonderful. You can send in your questions to me and Mum, but mostly Mum. She's the accredited sex relationship therapist here, to our email, podcast@hattrick.com, or by going to our social media profiles that I mentioned just now. We are at the RSE Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X,
formerly known as Twitter.
And in there, in the bio of that, you will find our anonymous Google form that you can fill out anonymously, and we'll get your questions there.
I'm hoping that we're going to get lots and lots of interest from pandas now.
Maybe the real panda education.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, oh my God, our first email's come in, and yeah, it's all in Chinese. But it's from a panda, though.
Hurrah.
Oh, it's working. Okay, here we go. First question. Hi, Kate and Diggory. Hello. Do you think about the idea that there's a connection between emotional repression and a person's sexual responsiveness? Mm. That is, a person dealing with emotional repression is less likely to be stimulated or responsive during sex because they learn to shut down their emotions / expressiveness as a defense mechanism, and it carries over into the bedroom. I'm wondering if this is the case for me. I and my partner have a limited sexual experience, and that may be the more significant reason for my lack of responsiveness so far. He has no responsiveness issues, though. But perhaps there is a psychological component too. What advice do you have for me? Thanks, smiley face.
See a psychosexual therapist.
Yes, and what will they do for you?
Make it better. I mean, do lots of work around what's going on. I mean, there are lots and lots of ways of working with this sort of thing. So sometimes there's some underlying trauma, and being discouraged from showing your emotions is seen as a kind of trauma these days, complex trauma. Mm. For other people, you can do work like sensate focus, you know, where you do sort of touching exercises, go back to square one, don't be sexual, but do touch one another so that you relearn and your brain relearns how you respond to one another. Lots of help to manage your anxiety, because clearly there is lots of anxiety here. If you're sort of depressed, and so you've gone kind of even below depression, more numbed out, you would work with that to help things get better. So there are lots of different ways of doing that. Sometimes it helps to, if you can't afford a therapist or you can't get referred to a therapist, then sometimes people can just impose a sex ban for themselves and start again with no sex, and just gradually work out what they can incorporate, what is allowed in terms of touch within their ban, and gradually increase that so that you've cut out the normal way of responding. So you're responding differently, which would mean that you're creating new neural pathways. So your automatic responses would change. And it's really important, therefore, that you have the sex ban and you keep that in place for a few weeks.
So let's just slightly rewind on that, because I think we've talked about this a few times on the podcast, but people might be hearing about it for the first time. Mm-hmm. So this person's coming to us and saying emotional repression, does that maybe lead into physical repression, like less responsive in the bedroom? So they're struggling to have sex, and you've just told them to impose a sex ban?
Absolutely.
Why? They're not having any sex anyway. That's ridiculous.
Because when sex is suggested, or when you think about it, or when you try and do it, or anything like that, your brain is going to respond in the same way. It's going to be anxious, and it's going to close you down.
Mm.
So if you take away the risk of sex, that gives you the opportunity to be a bit more relaxed, and you can have a conversation with your partner saying, this is what I will allow. This is what we agree can happen within this ban. So we can hold hands, we can snuggle up on the sofa, we can kiss, you know, we can touch hair, only shoulders. Gradually, as time passes, you introduce more things that you want to do. And then hopefully at some point you'll start to get aroused and gradually explore that and get closer and closer to wanting to be sexual. Yeah. And also, I mean, for people who are shut down, it's always worth, you know, masturbation, erotic reading, maybe some porn, you know, whatever. One thing is to, you know, just try touching different kinds of textures and things like that, being really turning on your sensual awareness so that you become more, you know, accustomed to noticing things and noticing touch. You know, touching yourself in different ways, touching a partner in different ways, and so very gradually. Now, normally you do that with the help of a sex therapist, but if you can't get to a sex therapist for whatever reason, then no harm in giving it a go.
Yeah, and just plug us in. It's fine.
Yes.
But I think that's true. And is it sort of in the sense of like, maybe that they're not having that spontaneous desire to, I guess, be with their partner and maybe even masturbate or whatever. But would you say maybe it's worth setting aside time for this sort of stuff? Even if you're not necessarily feeling sexy,
oh, yeah,
setting aside time to do it alone and with your partner.
Yeah.
And so whether you're feeling sexy or not, that doesn't really matter. It's about either being with yourself and doing what Mum said, you know, exploring your body or whatever, but also being with your partner and doing the things you spoke about, just touching each other's hair or touching each other's shoulders or whatever you said, because it's not always going to be spontaneous. We talked about this as well before, spontaneous versus responsive desire.
Do not wait for spontaneous desire to strike, because apart from anything else, one of the things that people discover when they start trying to put aside time for this, they find they have very little time. And that, you know, and we're all so busy these days that it can be really hard to find the time and to be really relaxed. And, you know, sometimes people say, oh, right, okay, we've put 8 o'clock on Wednesday in the diary. And at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, they're so frazzled, they think, oh, you know, this is awful. And that's really common. So you start to learn what's possible within your context, within your circumstances. And see what that has to do with it. But if things aren't getting better by themselves, then it's always useful to go and get things checked out.
Absolutely. And also it's that thing of, we've talked about this before as well, but I think some people will put that off to later in the list of the list of priority of things, because they're like, well, I guess it's not affecting my physical health in the sense I'm not going to die if I don't have sex. But this is affecting your health, I guess, your general wellness as a person, and so you can, and you know, you clearly want to do this stuff. That's why it is, like, you know, if people were like, oh, I don't have the spontaneous desire, so maybe I don't really like it, but it's like, but you're still thinking about it a lot, you still want to do these things, so it is worth putting the time aside, and it is worth getting a therapist.
Well, sometimes people don't know if they want to or not, but they want to try and see and find out what they want to do, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And just to answer their question as well, what do you think about the idea that there's a connection between emotional repression and a person's sexual response? Yes, just I'm sure we've basically answered that in our answer, but there is. And so if that's what you're experiencing, then that's what you're experiencing. Wonderful. One panda down. Some more pandas to go. Let's have another question when we come back in part two, right after this.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. Mum has managed to put the panda, called Panda, she sort of like tucked it in her headphones, so now it's sat atop her head. Let's hope it doesn't try and shag her. Okay,
Dates.
Another question here.
How could you?
I don't know. You're the one. I love that. Also, you went to this place. I've just been thinking as well. It's like you went there. You helped scoop up the poo. Did they also put you in a panda costume by any chance and make you shag the other people there?
No. Okay,
don't say. Don't go. As if I'm the mad one.
No,
you went and voluntarily picked up poo.
It's fallen off now. It was very ethical. It was not the kind. It's not one of these places where they say, "Oh, go and wash the elephants that don't need washing" or anything like that. This was very.
Let go and stroke the sedated tiger.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't like that. It was very. It was. They wouldn't. You know, they wouldn't let us go and
shag a panda.
We had to be really careful about what we were wearing. About we were dressed up in a uniform, but you couldn't wear perfume or anything. You had to.
What was the uniform like? Was it black and white?
No, it wasn't. I was not dressed as a panda. I was dressed as a panda helper, which is a blue uniform, blue overalls. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
And
very,
there were
very
more
dark,
pictures.
Dark blue.
No, there were more pictures taken of us sweeping up the poo than there was of the pandas.
That's actually true. I have seen those as well. They're great photos. Cameras everywhere. If someone just slips, takes a video, two of the people are shagging. Anyway, right, listen. We've got another question here from another panda. Got another question here. Okay, serious faces, please. Recently had a bad breakup, and I can't stop thinking about a future with this person. I've always been the person who doesn't want to marry or have kids because I've always had a fear of choosing the wrong person. But when he came into my life, it was different. I was more open to a future with him, and now I can't delete him from that future. How do I move on?
Oh, takes some time, doesn't it? It takes some time to get over something like this. And sometimes it's just a matter of sticking with it and waiting for the pain to pass. Just because you're thinking about it all the time doesn't mean it's the right thing. I mean, sometimes people think about something more when it's not possible anymore, because then there's no risk of it actually happening. So they allow themselves to think, oh my goodness, now I'm obsessed. That's quite common.
Yeah, yeah. And also, is it not human nature to sort of, maybe not human nature, but to have, to want, to fantasize or want what you don't have? And it's always that thing of like, you don't know what you've got until you've lost it and all that sort of stuff. Is that, and also maybe because if it was a bad breakup, you sort of upset about that and thinking, well, we didn't really end on nice terms, and maybe you're worried about all these different things.
Sometimes, I mean, there's a reason why somebody wants to keep the pain going. Because they don't really want to break up. So while they're still mourning, if you like, then they feel as if they're still involved in the relationship. But also sometimes people feel quite stigmatized by not having a partner. It's important to some people to have a partner. I mean, whether they're sort of consciously aware of it or not, they feel that they have some status associated with being in a relationship. So if you're mourning the relationship, it's kind of like you're still in the relationship. You're kind of letting everyone know that you've had a relationship and you're still in it. I'm not sure that this is necessarily a conscious reaction.
Yeah, yeah, but, definitely, yeah.
But it might help to keep you connected. And a bit like the way people die and you can't let go of them and, you know, just become obsessed with the end rather than being able to remember the happy times. You know, people become obsessed with the future when a relationship ends and how their future's going to be bleak and miserable, rather than thinking, hey, some of this relationship was great. We had a really good time. I was lucky. I can have another relationship like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this comes back to what you said and you say, and we need to keep drumming home this point. I mean, I should let you say it really, but the end of a relationship is?
Really sad.
Sorry, it wasn't really the best layup there. That would have been, we wouldn't have scored that point in basketball. That was not an alley-oop or whatever it's called. Or a layup. I'm not really sure. I've never done sport. You look at me. I've never done it.
Yeah, you have.
What have I done?
Football.
Not very bloody well. Oh, you know my story about football. Long story short, I was playing in sixth form. A lad called my friend over who was playing with me. The opposition's manager. So think about that. A teacher from a different school called my friend Jack over and said, who's number 14? And he went, oh, that's my friend Diggory. And he goes, I've been teaching PE for 20 years. I've been teaching kids from 5 and upwards. He has come to the worst footballer I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Somebody said that about me.
Really? They said it runs in the family.
Yeah, it does. It runs in the family. Somebody said this is the most physically disabled student I've ever had the misfortune to teach.
Oh, I don't like that wording either.
No, I know. Isn't it terrible? Wasn't it rude?
Well, I think it's hurtful to people with handicaps.
Well, exactly. Well, clearly I had one and I didn't know.
Jesus. Well, that's savage. Anyway, right, back to what I was trying to say is basically we think of relationships ending. Of course, it's sad, but a relationship ending often isn't a failure. It is a form of self-development.
Yes, it's the relationship itself is a form of self-development. So if you've done all you can do with that relationship, then for a lot of people, it makes sense to end and look for somebody who can help them do the next bit of self-development. And that means that relationship's been really, really successful because it's allowed you to grow and develop. And that is the way to look at it, really. And, it's, you know, sometimes both people have done their, I was going to say done their business, but have finished the development that they needed to do. So, you know, there's nothing more to do and they stay together very happily. But if there is still more work, then the relationship's not going to be satisfying.
I mean, I personally would say as well, unfortunately with this sort of stuff, time does heal these wounds. But I saw a quote the other day saying, you know, time on its own doesn't do much. So if they could do some things as well as, just remember that it's going to take a while. And it is not going to be linear. It goes in waves. Mm. There's going to be days where you go, oh my God, I didn't think about them today. Mm. And there's going to be weeks where you go, shit, I've been doing really well. And then there'll be another week or another day where you think about them loads. It's not going to be linear. It's going to be like a bumpy road. But it will be over, if you looked at it over a longer time as a graph, it will be a line upwards. So it will be fine. It will be getting better. But time without anything else, what are the other things they can do?
Well, you can use it as an excuse to watch rom-coms and eat ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Can you recommend any?
No.
Okay. Fine. Not even Notting Hill or Love Actually in front of a huge Hugh Grant fan. I'm really pissed off.
Oh, yeah. Those, obviously. Yeah. Yes. Fine. Cinderella.
Is that a rom-com? Cinderella, the famous rom-com.
Well, the panto is.
Yeah, sort of. I'd call that a panto.
Well, it is a panto. Yeah. We're around the time of year when it's appropriate.
Yeah, fine. So go and see a panto and then go home and watch Love Actually. Actually, good don't idea. Watch Love Actually. It's shocking. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, actually, yeah. For
it's horrible. Love Actually is a really, yeah, it's a really, really bad, really
it's
horrible.
It's always bothered me.
It's a very cynical look at love. I guess it's love, actually, but it's very cynical. Don't watch that. Watch Notting Hill. That's nicer. That's anyway, nice. Sorry, what's going on here? Anyway, so watch the rom-coms. But have you got what other advice
or any Christmas movie? Other Christmas movies are available.
Okay, we moved from rom-coms to pantos to Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Why is that the trajectory? Anyway, sorry, let's move off.
Because actually, what you need to do is look at the kind of life that you want. What kind of life do you want? Instead of obsessing and saying I can only have a decent future with this person, look at the kind of life you'd like to be living and start looking at how you can move in that direction. Hopefully you're not just going to think, well, my life will be useless without a partner. You know, all I've got to do is devote myself to finding a partner. But, you know, even if you're going to do that, look for other things that you enjoy as well. Make yourself an interesting person apart from anything else, not just someone who's obsessed with finding someone to live with.
Yeah.
Interest yourself. Make your life fun. Do things that you want to
do. Make yourself the person that, you know, someone would obsess being sad over. I mean, sometimes I sort of think living well. Someone said this, I think. They said living well is the best revenge. So you bettering yourself.
It absolutely is.
And if it was a bad breakup, maybe revenge is on the cards. If you are, and this isn't an excuse to post loads of fit pics on your Instagram post, or if you want to do that, it's fine. But like, this isn't just being like, you know, look hot. I'm saying then do the Sandy from Greece. I mean, better yourself and live well and be smiling in all your, and you know, and just put a smile on your face every day and be a great person for you and make the change you want to make. That is the best. That
I think
is
you're
the best
allowed
revenge.
To be miserable. I don't think you have to always have a smile on your face, but I think
you do feel better
if you smile. I mean, definitely, there's no doubt about it. And if you feel miserable, change your position, because your brain reads your body. And if you always sit slumped, you know, then get up and move around, and your brain will say, oh, now I'm flummoxed. Oh, we're not depressed.
Yeah, go for a walk.
Yeah,
that
and
helps.
It'll go out in nature. It'll send you some nice positive hormones instead. And then you'll be feeling better.
Yeah, create some nice habits, go for lots of walks, and think about the person, like you say, you want to be. And just, can I just say as well, Mum mentioned there, you said in there somewhere, you went, oh, you know, that person who goes, oh, I'm never going to find someone as good as them, whatever. I've been around people like that. I've been that person. They are fucking boring to be around. And it's like get over yourself. And the reason you think that is because when people say that to me, it's usually close friends. And I'm like, God, I love you. And seeing you like this is depressing because you don't realise how great you are. Mm. And seeing you so caught up, often on someone that, to me, just feels like not that big a deal. You are the shit. So get out there and show yourself first and then the rest of the world that. Don't be caught thinking like, oh, well, I wasn't good enough for them and all that.
No,
come
absolutely
on. Don't do yourself the disservice.
No. Think about what you want to do with your life, not how you have to fit someone else into it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. Wow. Wonderful. Love that.
New Year coming up.
Hey, you know what? I used to really rag on New Year's resolutions, but I'm actually like thinking of a few already that I actually might try and stick to.
Oh, could our lovely listeners send us theirs?
Oh, yeah, guys, send us in your New Year's resolutions. Mm. That'd be great.
It would be lovely. Have you got any... Yes, exactly.
Oh, are they sex related?
Mm.
I hope so. Are they relationship related? I hope so. If they're not, don't worry. But send them in. We're at the RSC Pod on Twitter. No. What's it called?
We're X.
Send them in.
We're X-rated.
So send them in. We're at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok and X.
Rated. Twitter. Formerly known as.
Good. you're one cue and you went mental.
Well, I wasn't expecting it.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was busy looking for my panda, which has dropped down somewhere.
Oh, God. Probably down your bloody shirt again.
No. Dived off under the table.
And if you want to make it an anonymous one, by all means, please do go to our Google form. You'll find that again in the bio of this episode, actually, and all the social medias. Follow us, subscribe to us if you're not already, wherever you're listening to this or watching it now, and we'll see you on Monday for another episode of The Real Sex Education After School for more of your questions, because there's so many, we've got to catch up. See you then.
Woohoo!
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.